Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTSOVERNIGHTAMERICA.
All right, all right. Welcome to another edition of Sports Overnight America here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Sports Overnight America, Geico, Corona, Rocket Mortgage. Thank you guys as well. The first Monday of 2025, and we kicked it off with a bang last night. Obviously, we saw the Lions and Vikings, how that unfolded. Lions get the number one seed. How cool for Detroit and all their fans. Doesn't matter who you support. You know, that Dan Campbell story, and just the Lions organization in general, after all they've been through to secure a number one seed, it's just cool, man. All those hype videos before the game, it was awesome to see. We're going to cover all of what happened in the NFL. The playoff bracket is here. The road to the Super Bowl has been unveiled. Let's see who we like. I got some dark horses that I'm looking at here. Real interesting matchups that we're going to get into as well. We got Zayd Hussein at 12 past the hour, Giovanni Scroggins at 25, and Marty Terrell joining me at 40. Not just the NFL this week, though. College football semifinals are here, January 9th and 10th. On the 9th, I'll actually be at Penn State Notre Dame down here in Miami before, on the 10th, we get to see Texas take on the absolute beast of Ohio State, where they've put up 41 and 42 in the first two rounds of the playoff. They're looking unstoppable, but if there's a team left to take them down, it's going to have to be now in my eyes, and Texas is the one to do it. Let's see. We're going to chat about that with Zeta Giovanna as well. And I want to give a quick shout out. I know we don't talk too much soccer here in the midweek. We save that for Fridays on First Touch with myself and Nico Beef Sauce, Fridays, 5 o'clock Eastern. Nottingham Forest, they beat Wolves 3-0 this afternoon. For those who don't know, Nottingham Forest were founded in 1865. They were relegated from the Premier League three times in 93, 97, and 99 before returning to the Premier League in 2022. They right now are tied on points with Arsenal. They are third in the league. Arsenal is second. They both have 40 points. Both have played 20 games. You know how unbelievable of a story that is? They have more wins right now this season, which is halfway through the season right now, than they did all of the last few years combined, I'm pretty sure. I know it is at least each of the last years. They already have more wins. Just an unbelievable story. You only get it in the Premier League. But for the next hour, we're talking NFL and college football. Don't move. Up next, we're bringing in Zayd Hussein to talk about this weekend's NFL slate. And I'm sure he'll be happy that the Bears finally took down the Packers. I'm your host, Kyle Levine. We'll be right back. Don't move.
Ain't no need to double back, don't even trip. I told her, get with the program. Walking play like a slow jam. Ooh, this ain't regular, regular. I ain't nothing that you settle for. No, nice try, wrong guy. Maybe next time.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium, something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together, and we will start today. Celebrate responsibly.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTSOVERNIGHTAMERICA.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Welcome back to Sports Overnight America. I'm your host, Tyler Levine. Happy Monday. Let's get him in here. Zaid Hussein, how are we doing, my man?
Doing great, Ty. Cannot complain. Big, big week of sports coming up, as you know, man. I'm really excited to break down the NFL wild card, college football, and everything that we have rolling on this week.
Absolutely. And look, I got to give you some credit. We're going to spend about 30 seconds on this, but it had to be said. The Bears, they do it. They beat the Packers for the first time on the road since 2015. First time beating them in general in 11 games. And there were implications in this game. It moved around the seeding with the Packers, who now go to Philadelphia. But shout out to your Bears. A little bit, a little smile on your face to end what's been just a miserable season. But before we, to get away from that, last night, the Lions 31, the Vikings 9. Did you see that coming? I got to know.
I thought the Lions were going to win. I think the score doesn't implicate how close the game was. I mean, the Vikings stopped on fourth and goal two times in the first half. They scored those two touchdowns right there. It's a completely, completely different ball game, especially considering it was 10-6 going into the half. My Bears, I felt, getting 10 points against the Packers in a meaningless game, kind of. I know the Packers win does a little bit for them, but I thought it was kind of meaningless. That's why I like the Bears a lot this week. But when you look at the Lions now, rolling in, have a bye, and then you go, the Vikings now play the Rams, and which is almost a pick 'em at -1.5 right now. It's a very tough game for them to win. I do think they will beat the Rams. I think you're going to see a lot of public money coming on the Rams, and I think people, after seeing what Minnesota did in primetime, are going to shy away from them. I, however, cannot ignore the fact of what the Vikings have done throughout the whole year. I mean, this is a team offensively that has been dominant, absolutely dominant. Jefferson, Addison, Naylor, all those weapons in the wide receiving core mixed with the running game. I think this is a team that's very dangerous. While Sam Darnold had a bad game, I think he can recover nicely in the wild card game and win to eventually face the Lions again in 2 weeks.
Did this game tell you more about the Lions or the Vikings in general?
I think it's a game that really you could take away very little from it. I see people taking a lot away, saying the Vikings are garbage and crown the Lions. But I think that this is a game where you look at the Lions, they won, yes, but I think in a way where it looked dominant, but it wasn't as dominant. And I think if the Lions draw a team, like obviously right now they're going to draw the winners of the Rams and Vikings. But if they go to the NFC Championship and they draw a team, my wild card team is the Washington Commanders. I think the Washington Commanders win and then play them In the NFC Championship. I think they win and go to NFC Championship. I think that's a team that gives them a lot of trouble. I think the Lions will struggle against mobile quarterbacks. Luckily, they're probably not going to play one until the NFC Championship. But I think they win, and then they go to the NFC Championship and lose to whoever they play. I truly believe that.
I saw something today, and it was in regards to going for it on fourth down, and everybody seems to have this problem, you know, Colin Campbell, a gambler, and, you know, he goes for it on fourth too much. And someone brought up a really good point. We saw this last night, and I wanted to hear your take on it. When the Lions go for it on fourth, and Campbell has said this, he wants to go for it as much as possible on fourth down, so when his team is in those situations when it really matters, they don't pucker at all. They're used to it. It's normal. It's just a routine play. There's no difference between a second down play and a fourth down play for them. But we saw last night with the Vikings, they went for it twice on fourth within the five-yard line in the red zone with an opportunity to score and really change the complexion of this game. In a game that mattered, with everything on the line for the number one seed, and we saw them kind of flounder. So, you know, where do you lie with Dan Campbell? And, you know, what a lot of people believe is his questionable risk-taking. And do you think that last night, you know, because the Lions had a couple fourth downs last night where they went for it and got it. And, you know, do you see that as a problem for them moving forward? Or do you think that with how often they're doing these, you know, crazy things throughout the regular season, that it actually prepares them for the big moments in the postseason?
Yeah, I think the Lions are a team that has been absolutely rolling, but I think, I don't know, man. I can't trust Dan Campbell in the playoffs. I think that it's going to come back to bite him like it did last year. We saw them just take chance after chance after chance. This is a defense that's very, very, very suspect, Ty. And I think when you look and see, if they don't get out to a lead early, this is a team that has a lot to worry about, because they depend on getting out to that lead and, you know, driving the run game. Using the run game, using Gibbs, kill time, pick up chunks yards in the run game, and keep the game rolling. But if they're a team that gets down early, it's very hard, I think, for them to come back, especially with how suspect their defense is. So while they've rolled this NFL season, I'm not as high as on the Lions as everyone else is.
A lot of questionable throws from Goff last night. We saw the interceptions, obviously. You know, in the playoffs, those will kill you. You know, you gave your sleeper in the NFC, the Commanders. First of all, I want to throw this out there. I think that Bucks-Commanders game might be the best game in the first round of everything, AFC or NFC. I just, the Bucks are so fun to watch. They're spicy. The Commanders as well, with Jaden Daniels. I think these two teams are really going to go out it. And shout out to Mike Evans as well. What a cool moment, breaking or tying Jerry Rice's record yesterday for 11 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. And what a funny way to do it. The game is completely over. They can kneel it out. To be honest, it could have been, you know, they, for all intents and purposes, could have thrown a pick six and, you know, ruined the whole game, but obviously they didn't. I saw some tweets saying if I was the Saints defensive coordinator, I would have put four up against them and not let him have it. But I digress. Let's go to the AFC. We have the playoff picture set. The first round matchups, Texans, Chargers, Ravens, Steelers, Bills, Broncos. Who's your sleeper in the AFC? We have Commanders as a team that can make do some damage in the NFC. Who do you got on the other side of the bracket?
So here's my two teams that I'm very, very high on that I think all of the public is low on. It's the Washington Commanders and it's the Denver Broncos. The Broncos are getting 9 points against the Buffalo Bills. I think that's insane. I think Denver has one of the best defenses in the league, and Bo Nix is playing at an extremely high level. I think Denver wins outright. I truly believe it. I think they're going to come with the Buffalo, and they're going to win that game outright. This is a team that has been rolling. They look very good. The offense has looked great. Bo Nix has looked great. And the defense is going to give a lot of teams problems. You have the best cover corner in the league in Sertan. You have very good linebackers, very good pass rush. I think this team is going to give them problems. And I think if Josh Allen doesn't have a superstar Hall of Fame type of performance, that they fall short here. Give me the Broncos with the 9 points, and give me the Washington Commanders with the 3 points as my two best bets for this weekend. I'll be placing a huge bet on those. So stay tuned for that.
I'll tell you what, if that actually comes to fruition, McDermott will be out and packing by the morning. I mean, that would be an epic upset if Bo Nix in his rookie season could go into Buffalo. I'm curious about what the weather is. Have you checked that out yet, what the weather in Buffalo is going to be like?
I have not. I'm sure it's going to be very chilly.
Very cold. I know that. We at least know it's going to be cold. I'm curious if there's going to be snow or not.
Yeah.
Do you think that the Broncos in their run game, you know, that obviously their Bo Nix has been great. Sutton, Mims, they're having great seasons. Do you think that their run game is going to really need to step up another level to beat a team like Buffalo? Or, you know, because look, if they abandon the run, Buffalo might just kind of sit back and say, okay, like, you know, let's absorb this. If you're not going to, we see it all the time. Teams need to establish the run to really open up the pass game. But I'm hearing you saying, and I want to hear you go into this a little bit now. You don't think that the run game is an issue for the Broncos at all?
I think Bo Nix is an absolute baller, man. I think the way he's been swinging the ball, I understand they played the Chiefs even last week, you know, with most of their starters rested. But Bo Nix has been putting up great numbers, you know, 321 yards, 4 touchdowns, 26 of 29, 7 carries, 47 yards. You know, he's running the ball well. He's passing the ball well. Sutton's been having all-time performances. Mims on the other side as well, you know, quietly had 2 touchdowns, 5 catches. I think the run game, you have a three-headed monster in McLaughlin, and, you know, if Javonte Williams comes back and gets some more run, he's going to get a lot of run. This is a team that's very, very dangerous.
What about the Steelers and Ravens? Rivalry game, anything can happen in theory. For me, I've said this all season long, I'm not a believer in the Steelers at all. Baltimore's a 10-point favorite, though, in a rivalry game in the playoffs. Is that a lot of points? Is that too many points for you? Or you think the Steelers can keep this one kind of close? I mean, we saw the Steelers beat the Ravens this season,
yeah,
no, in their first matchup.
I think, Ty, man, it's a question of if the Steelers can score enough. I think they need to score 25, 26 points to win this game. You got to think the Ravens are going to put up at least 27 points. I would say between 24 and 27. Can the Steelers match that? It's something that I really don't know, because when you look at the Steelers on paper, they have been ugly offensively. I mean, unless Pickens is doing something spectacular, this is a team that has been putting up, you know, a small amount of points. We saw earlier in the year, 34-17, the Ravens smoked them. Like, I understand they have a win over them too, but I think the Ravens' offense is too high of a level here. I think the Steelers have to score offensively. They have to convert in order to make this game good. And they have to cause turnovers on Jackson or anyone else. But, you know, when it comes to the playoffs with the Ravens, they always make those boneheaded mistakes. So the Steelers have to make it ugly. They have to play in the trenches. And that's the only way that they can win this game.
10 points is a lot. I think that's kind of that's a trap number for me. I'm rolling with the Ravens here as well. I think that they're just too big and too good for the Steelers. All right, Zaid, thank you so much. As always, it is an absolute pleasure to have you on. Hope you enjoyed Brazil, and we'll chat with you soon, buddy.
Thanks, brothers. Take care.
Absolutely. All right, up next, we're getting in here, Giovanna Scroggins. We'll talk some college football playoffs, and I'm curious about who Giovanna's got as her sleepers for this NFL playoff bracket. But we have it all covered here on Sports Overnight America.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who'll offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who'll sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
We all love children, and many of us have an old car, truck, or van in the driveway. Find the Children has a great way for you to put your unwanted vehicle to good use. Keep listening. Every year, thousands of kids go missing. Trust me, it's a parent's worst nightmare. When a child goes missing, every moment counts, and you need all of the help you can get. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to locating missing children and bringing them home safely. You can help support their mission by donating your car, truck, van, or SUV. A towing company will come and pick up your car for free, running or not, and the donation of your car is tax deductible. Your help is providing the funds they need to continue their services. Call now, donate your old vehicle to Find the Children and get free pickup. Here's the number.
800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. That's 800-670-7830.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Welcome back to Sports Overnight America. I am your host, Ty Levine. We are presented by Geico and Rocket Mortgage. Go to rocketmortgage.com with some help towards those closing costs, which can be very tedious, by the way. So I highly encourage everyone, rocketmortgage.com. Get that help. It is offered. You'd be silly not to. All right, enough of that. Let's get her in here. Giovanna Scroggins, how are we doing?
Good. How are you, Tyler?
I am doing great. Unbelievable weekend. I'll tell you what, after that 1 o'clock slate, you know, I'm watching on Red Zone, and four games are going on. Some have playoff implications, who's getting in, who's getting out. Almost all of them were for seeding purposes. We had the Falcons and the Panthers going into overtime. At the same time, the Bucks were wrapping things up against the Saints. They needed to win the division. And then all while that's going on, we think, oh, this Bears-Packers game is going to be meaningless. The Bears win, beat the Packers, Commanders win, they flip the seeds. Now the Packers have to go to Philadelphia. The Bucks win the division. Just an unbelievable slate of games with all the implications of the world and what a lot of people were expecting to be somewhat of a boring Week 18 outside of the Lions-Vikings game. What stood out to you yesterday? Let's go outside of the Lions and Vikings because that's kind of the obvious one. What surprised you the most? Who really helped themselves? Who hurt themselves?
I mean, this last final season, regular season of the NFL week, to me, was about, you know, records being broken, you know, incentives. Money talks in the NFL. And I think, you know, even outside of the Broncos just decimating the Chiefs about all their starters, it was really interesting to see, you know, Aaron Rodgers joined his 500 club. Geno Smith also got an amazing $6 million incentive, you know, playing that game. So that was what the weekend was about to me. Some of these games didn't really care for. I kind of already knew what was going to happen when it comes to the wild card and all that kind of stuff. But that's kind of what I was paying attention towards this weekend.
How about, I don't know if you saw this. I'm sure you did, being that you're out in Texas. Cooper Rush had a $500,000 incentive to play. I think it was, 50% of the snaps, or 55% of the snaps for the season.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, he stepped in for Dak. Dak went out very early on for the entire season, so Cooper Rush took over. They don't play him yesterday. Jerry Jones is asked about it. You know, was that weighed into making this decision, knowing that he had this incentive? He says, oh, you know, I didn't know about it. That had nothing to do with this. But, and then he kind of throws in, you know, those are in there for the agents and they shouldn't really be in there at all. Simultaneously also comes out, someone asks him if he's ever considering stepping down as a GM. I don't want to spend too much time on the Cowboys because there's just so much else going on, but I got to get your opinion on this. Jerry's not going anywhere as the GM, it seems, and he's apparently saying that players shouldn't have incentives in their contracts and that that had absolutely nothing to do as to why Cooper Rush didn't play in this game. What are your thoughts on that real quick? Give me 30 seconds.
Yeah, I find it quite hard to believe that they didn't know that that was the case when it comes to his contract and the incentives. If you don't know, then somebody needs to get fired because obviously y'all aren't getting well, you know, versed and prepared for these games coming up into it. I mean, you're the head coach and you don't know that your starting quarterback needs to play this game in order to, you know, at least walk away with, you know, a little bit of something, kind of a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, like, finishing the season for the Cowboys. That's been a struggle. And I mean, honestly, Cooper Rush, he's played, you know, decent, you know, coming in as a backup quarterback. So I find that hard to believe that he just did not know. That was
I find it crazy because you see all these other teams. I mean, look at the Bucks. They had the game wrapped up and they, you know, I'm not going to say risked the playoff spot, but like if something goes wrong on that third of Mike Evans and that's picked off for a touchdown, you know, that whole game changes. I mean, what was the final score here? You know, that's a touchdown and a two-point conversion away from them going to overtime against the Saints. And they put it all on the line to make sure that Mike Evans got the record and hit his incentive. So you look at that. You look at Van Noy with the Ravens, I believe it was. He got a sack, got an extra $500K. You know, Geno Smith played in that game. There's no reason for him to do so. And, you know, it's just it's kind of a bad taste in my eyes. But that's neither here nor there. We'll come back to the NFL in the next segment. I wanted to shift over to the college football playoff. We have games Thursday and Friday this week. The Capital One Orange Bowl, Penn State versus Notre Dame down here in Miami. I will be live at that game, which I'm very excited for. Shout out to the network for making sure that we can always get to these huge games to get coverage for all of you guys to see and to listen to. And then we follow up that Thursday game with a Friday game, 7:30 Eastern, January 10th on ESPN, Texas versus Ohio State in the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic. Let's start there, being that you are in Texas. What is the vibe around Texas college football right now? Because it's not like they're going up against Arizona State anymore, Clemson. They're facing an Ohio State team that has been an absolute gauntlet to deal with through these first two rounds. They absolutely walked over Tennessee. That game was over in the first quarter. And then they do the same thing again against an undefeated Oregon that played pretty good defense all season long, and they couldn't even remotely keep up. I think this 41-21 scoreline isn't even indicative of how dominant Ohio State was in this game. So circling all that up and kind of, you know, how are people feeling about Texas's chances to take down Ohio State? Are you sensing that there's a little bit of nervous energy traveling amongst the fans down in Texas?
Oh, yeah, and I'll be at that game live, you know, reporting from AT&T Stadium for the Cotton Bowl Classic. But this game is going to be interesting because, obviously, like you mentioned, Ohio State has been, you know, it's a gauntlet of a team. And I think they are proving themselves, especially with that huge win over Oregon. Their defense has been one of the best defenses. They have an amazing receiver out of Jeremiah Smith. So I think there's going to be a lot of things that Texas is going to have to pay attention to. Obviously, Texas against Arizona, you know, they came out really, really hot in the first half, but then kind of let Arizona catch up and then eventually had to go all the way into overtime in order to get a win. I'm not sure if that's going to fare against this explosive Ohio State offense, and not to mention their defense. It's going to be very interesting, not to mention Dallas weather. It's so weird in Texas, but, you know, January is when we get all of our cold, so there's a chance of possible snow this weekend.
Wow. I was not aware of that. Some snow at the Cotton Bowl. Who would have thought? So here's where I go with this one.
The stadium's closed.
Yeah, that is good. That is good. So here's where I go with this one. Texas obviously let Arizona State completely back in that game, and it was mainly through Scadaboo, who, for those who don't know, I mean, I think it's impossible now to not know who the kid is. Is one of the best running backs in the country. It's kind of a different game script for Ohio State, because where they really do their damage is through Jeremiah Smith and through the passing game. I mean, Will Howard, 319 yards, 17 from 26, 3 touchdowns in the last game. Jeremiah Smith had 7 catches, 187 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So against Arizona State, they struggled, obviously, dealing with the running back. And now here they are. They have to handle the receiving core of Ohio State, and Smith isn't the only weapon that they have. And I want to throw this in there as well. Let's not forget, Trayvon Henderson for Ohio State in the game against Oregon, 8 carries, 94 yards, 2 touchdowns. And then Quinshon Judkins, 17 carries, 85 yards. So they rushed for 181 yards on the Ducks, and they threw for 319. Where do you think Texas is going to have to put – I mean, obviously, I'm not going to say which one is there going to be more emphasis on, but what's the game plan to handle an offense – like this in your eyes? Are they going to have to double Smith and kind of give Ohio State the carries, or do you find it too dangerous to allow Ohio State to establish the run early and, you know, with fear that that could really open up the pass game and giving them control of the clock would be non-advantageous for Texas? What are your thoughts?
I would say if there's one thing Texas should be focusing on, it's definitely that receiving core. It definitely needs to be – their defense needs to shut down any pass options they have. Obviously, you know, there still needs to be a focus on the run game. But Texas has a run game of themselves. You know, I mean, I've talked about it again and again. They have certain packages where they can utilize Arch Manning. Their running back that they have is fairly decent. And Ewers also likes to run a little bit. So I think if they can, like I said, focus on the receiving core that Ohio State has, kind of – limits the amount of pass options they get. I think they can come out and possibly win this game, but Ohio State, unfortunately, I think is honestly going to win this game and probably go on to win the Natty.
I was just going to ask you what your thoughts are on Ohio State -5.5. Is that the end? Do you think Ohio State wins big? Are they going to cover this 5.5 point spread, or do you think Texas is going to keep it close?
I think they cover, and they cover for the exact reasons that we've spoken on. I can't bet against Ohio State, especially after we saw them take down the number one team. That was definitely not a fluke. So, yeah, I think they absolutely cover.
I'm riding with you there, and I'm going to take it a step further than Ohio State just taking down the number one team. Let's not forget, in the first round, it was, I mean, at least I was saying it, and I think it was pretty widely agreed upon. Ohio State had the toughest matchup. They played Tennessee, probably the best team out of the SMU, Indiana, Clemson group. Just calling it for what it is. An SEC team. They traveled well to Ohio State Stadium. I mean, the rumors were that there were more Tennessee fans that were attending than Ohio State fans. I'm not sure how true that was. But they came out and absolutely smoked them. And then they ran it back and did it again at the Rose Bowl. So I'm riding with you as well. I think Ohio State wins, and I think they do it easily, which as a Michigan fan, it does pain me to say that, being that I really would like to see Ohio State not win the national championship. I know we're not supposed to necessarily have, you know, favorites here in the media, but you know, I've not been shy about my thoughts on Ryan Day and Ohio State as a whole. But I don't know. I just think Will Howard is going to be too much for this Texas team to handle. I don't think they look particularly good against Arizona State at all. I've had questions about them since their game against Georgia earlier on in the season when they were at home and got absolutely bullied by the Dogs. Who just went out, obviously, to Notre Dame. Notre Dame beat Georgia 23-10. And coming up after this break, we're going to get into that game as Notre Dame and Penn State will face off Thursday, January 9th, 7:30 p.m. at the Hard Rock Stadium down here in Miami, which I will be at. I want to hear your thoughts on that game before we get back into the NFL playoffs coming up next. Giovanna Scroggins is sticking with us. I'm your host, Tyler Levine, here on Sports Overnight America. We'll be right back after this break. Don't move. We still got so much to get to.
Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue, less drive, poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer.
800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. That's 800-773-5112.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well. Lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTSOVERNIGHTAMERICA.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern time. And weekend replays, 24-7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League. Presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
Welcome back to Sports Overnight America, here with your host, Tyler Levine and Giovanna Scroggins. Giovanna, let's get her back in here. Penn State, Notre Dame at the Hard Rock, January 9th, Thursday, 7:30 p.m., the Capital One Orange Bowl. We saw, I mean, I'm not going to, there's been this narrative around Penn State not being able to win big games. Franklin can't win the big one. Now people are saying he's put that to rest. He took down SMU. He took down Boise State. I know you went to SMU. I'm not going to call that a big win. And I'm not calling the win against Boise State a big win either. Was it a big moment? Yes. Is it a big win against a comparable team in terms of just raw talent, recruiting purposes, the whole nine? No, it's not a big win. This, however, would be a big one, and it's for a spot in the national championship game. Right now, Notre Dame minus 2.5, 2.5-point favorites. They're favored to win by a field goal. What do you got in this game? Who are you riding with? Can Penn State finally win a big one against a big team?
I would agree with you there. I mean, Penn State, when it comes to the College Football Playoffs, obviously, you know, you mentioned SMU. To me, I have a lot of opinions on that game. I'm going to keep it to myself. But, you know, they move on from there. Boise State, we already knew going into it, the one they need to focus on is locking down Ashton Genty. I still think he's a phenomenal player, but they did just that. Obviously, they get a win. Now they're playing Notre Dame. The thing I will say about Notre Dame is if they played like they played against Georgia, I'm almost, you know, incentivized to maybe take Penn State in this game. I think they might be able to pull off a win. Notre Dame, to me, you know, being an independent, coming into this new 12-team college football playoffs is an interesting position to be in. Penn State, in my opinion, might have a little bit more experience. And I do think they have a pretty good team going for them. So I might take Penn State in this one.
Really? I'm riding with Notre Dame. I don't know. I just think that the fact that they just beat Georgia, and I know that Georgia was playing a backup quarterback. You know, don't get me wrong. Let's not forget, though, that backup quarterback is the same person who played the entire second half against Texas and won Georgia that game. So, like, let's not get it twisted. This was no scrub. He just beat Texas, who, let's not forget, is playing in the other semifinal match against Ohio State. I don't know. I think Notre Dame's defense will feel really good coming off against a win against Georgia, and their offense, who put up 23 points. They had that kick return, obviously, which, you know, I'm not going to factor that into how well they played. But Georgia's defense, for me, is significantly better than Boise State. I don't think anyone could argue that. I don't think there's a person out there in the world that would say that Boise State's defense is even comparable to Georgia's. And when you have those reps going into a game like this, versus Penn State, who played against, just calling it for what it is, a bad Boise State defense. Boise State's not a bad team. They had, for me, the best player in the country in Ashton Genty. Penn State figured out, like everyone knew, if you can stop him, you're going to win the game because, you know, you can score 28-plus against this Boise State team, which they did. And I don't know. I'm feeling like Penn State's, you know, run, and I said this going into the playoff. I thought that if there was a team that was most likely to make the semifinal, that Penn State, they have a very easy path. They play SMU, and then they're going to play Boise State. That's it. It's a seeding problem. It's not, you know, it's not their fault. But they haven't 100%. Played, you know, they haven't played a meaningful opponent. Just call, I know these anything can happen in these games, but they haven't played someone truly meaningful in weeks. Versus Notre Dame, who just went up in the Sugar Bowl against Georgia, which is for the last I don't even know how many 10 years has been one of the powerhouses in all of college football. And they will go in and win that game. And I think that that momentum is going to carry them through to take down Penn State, which would leave us with, if things go the way we think, Ohio State versus Notre Dame in the championship, which would just be, I feel like that is just one of those matchups that just sounds right. Two storied programs, a big game. Ohio State is the clear favorite for me here. I don't think there's anyone that can really stop them. I hate saying it, but it is what it is. But that's where I stand on this one. Let's shift over to the NFL. Obviously, the playoff bracket has been established. We just heard Zayd Hussein give us his underdogs, or you know, the team that people might not expect that can cause some damage both in the NFC and AFC. We started in the NFC with him. Let's start with you in the AFC. Who do you have your eyes on as a team that might be able to make a surprise run?
You know, this one's interesting. I kind of do agree with the Zayd in terms of the Broncos. I really do like Bo Nix right now. I think he's been playing amazing. Obviously, that matchup against the Bills is going to be very interesting. Here's my take on that game, and this is why I think that game is important to me. The Broncos are more than capable and have a talented roster to go in and win this game. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a close matchup. However, I do think the Bills are going to come up out on top just because Josh Allen has been doing incredible this season. I think the Bills are slowly trying to, you know, finding their identity. Doesn't mean any discredit towards the Broncos, but that's kind of the Broncos. If they can, they might slip in there. And I think that would be my underdog when it comes to this division and this matchup.
Let's talk not just an underdog, but you know, who do you like in the AFC? You know, what are the? Let's start. Let's do this first. AFC Championship game. Who do you think is going to be there, and who's going to win that game?
Oh, I mean, obviously, it's going to be between the Chiefs, and what I would like to see is the Chiefs and the Ravens. I think it's Lamar Jackson's time. I really want him not only to be in the MVP conversation, but to be in the Super Bowl conversation. I mean, come on. This man's an absolute dog. He has just broken so many records, has so many accolades. It is his time. I would love to see the Ravens defeat the Chiefs. I don't want to see the Chiefs in the championship. I don't want to see them in the Super Bowl anymore. I don't want to see Taylor Swift on my screen anymore. so I would love to see the Ravens in that championship and eventually in the Super Bowl if possible.
So my dark horse for the AFC is the Chargers. And I'll tell you why. I think the Texans are obviously just, they're not a great team right now. The Chargers have a very good defense. They can run. That Herbert's playing out of his mind this season. And, you know, they lost Tank Dell. I think that they're just, it's not their season for the Texans. I think the Chargers are definitely winning that game. Then we go into the Chiefs playing the Chargers. The Chiefs played them close both times. Let's not forget, what was it? That I think the Chargers game was with the field goal that hit the post and went in, and that's how they ended up beating them. They narrowly beat them by, I think it was like 2 points, 2 or 3 points, correct me if I'm wrong. I think that the Chargers are more than capable of taking down this version of the Kansas City Chiefs. Am I going to say that it's going to happen? No. Could I see it happening? Absolutely. I think everybody all season long has been looking at this Chiefs team and saying, okay, at what point are they going to trip up and fall? And I think that it could be coming off of what now 2 weeks of Mahomes and their starters not playing. I know that a lot of people think 2 weeks of, you know, no playing is good. It's restful. You know, you guys get to recuperate. I'm not so sure about that for this version of the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, let me tell you something else here. I also agree. I love the Ravens. And if we were to see a Chargers-Ravens AFC Championship game, a Harbaugh rematch of the Super Bowl, what was it, back in 2016, how unbelievable of a storyline would that be? And we know the NFL, and we know they love their storylines. I don't think there's a storyline they love more than Mahomes and Taylor Swift. We've all seen that. And, you know, the questionable refereeing decisions all season long, I'm going to leave that at that. But I would not be surprised, and I'm going to go as far as saying I'm rooting for a Chargers-Ravens AFC Championship game. I think it would be great for football and would be an unbelievable matchup. But with that being said, let's shift over to the NFC. Who do you have to make some noise? And then after you give that take, let's hear your NFC Championship game and who's going on to the Super Bowl.
Man, you know, I'm rooting for the Commanders. I really am. I've been saying all season long, Jaden Daniels, that is just my rookie of the year. I think he's been a phenomenal addition to this Washington team. So I'm really rooting for them in this new playoff. The thing that, you know, scares me is, you know, the lack of experience he has. I mean, it's his first year in the league, let alone his first playoff NFL, you know, introduction. So that's the only thing that scares me about, you know, the pressure. Obviously, and in my opinion, they have a tough matchup in the Bucs and Baker Mayfield. I mean, that is, in my opinion, a phenomenal offense that they're going up against. So, you know, it's going to be a tough game, but if Jaden Daniels and the Commanders can go on and pull off a win over the Bucs, it's going to be interesting. Two one thing about the Vikings and Lions game that will kind of explain my reasoning for the NFC Championship. The Vikings had, I think, three or four times in the red zone where they failed to actually get touchdown points. That said a lot to me. And the Lions' defense this season has been kind of known for not having the best defense against the pass. So that was really interesting. Obviously, you have the connection from Sam Darnold and Justin Jefferson. Mike Jefferson actually, you know, fumbled the bag and on one really important catch that he really should have made in that game. But that was a telltale sign for me. And going up against the Lions team, who is my Super Bowl favorite, but this team is not fully healthy. They have so many players, and obviously we saw another player getting not caught off the field, but he was caught off the sidelines going into the locker room. So this Lions team isn't even fully healthy, and they still went in and scored a lot of points. But that game was a defensive game. But that's kind of my concern about the Vikings going in to the NFC Championship. But if in a perfect world, I think it would be awesome to see the Commanders and the Eagles and the NFC Championship.
The Commanders and Eagles? Or the Vikings and Eagles?
The Commanders and the Eagles.
Well, they would match up in the second round, so which would be a very good matchup. But for the NFC Championship, it would have to be the Lions, Rams, Vikings versus Eagles. So are you saying who do you have on out of those three?
Out of those three, well, that game is going to be very interesting. But out of those three, I don't think the Rams are probably going to – it's a tough one. But in a perfect world, in my world, for the football, maybe the Commanders and the Rams or, the Eagles and the Rams.
I think the Rams are going to beat the Vikings. And for the exact reasons that you just highlighted, and you did a great job pointing that out, the Lions' defense – for the last 11 games has been god-awful. They don't get turnovers, and they give up a ton of points. So for me, I don't understand how they only put up, 9 points last night? It doesn't make any sense to me. I didn't stay up for the whole game. I could not stay because I was absolutely exhausted. I woke up and checked the score, and I was like, what? They only scored how many? And the Rams have a ton of playoff experience. Stafford has been there, done that, has played in these moments. Let's not forget, they almost went into Detroit and beat them last season. And for me, I think that the Lions are ultimately just a way better team than the Rams. I don't see the Rams beating them. I'm going with the Lions, but I'm going to go with my dark horse as the Bucks. I think that between McMillan, Mike Evans, Bucky Irving, and Rashad White with Baker Mayfield, if their defense can just lock in a little bit, I mean, we've seen the Bucks make noise this season. They beat the Lions already. And to see how cool would a Jared Goff and Baker Mayfield NFC Championship game be? And it's what I'm hoping for. Do I think it's going to happen? No, I think it's going to be Lions and Eagles. And I hate to say it, I think the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. I've said it for the last 8 or 9 weeks that I had a future out on them. That parlay also included Oregon, which obviously died in the first quarter of last week's affair. however, I just think that this Eagles team, they got healthy at the right time. They started playing defense at the right time. They're well rested. And, you know, it's just going to come down to if they can establish, you know, a passing game with their dominant run game. But they have the ability to control the clock. I don't think the Packers stand a chance in this one. But their biggest test for me, I think that the Eagles will face a bigger test playing the Commanders or the Bucks than playing the Lions in the NFC Championship game. I think if they can get out of that second round, then they're going to the Super Bowl. Reason being, the Lions' defense will get absolutely torn apart by the Eagles. Giovanna, thank you so much for joining us. As always, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on.
Thanks, Tyler. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. All right, stick with us. We got a 2-minute drill coming up here on Sports Overnight America. I'm your host, Ty Levine. We are presented by Geico and Rocket Mortgage. Don't move. We'll be right back.
Oh. I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works, and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917. Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-425-2317. 800-425-2317. That's 800-425-2317.
All right, two-minute drill here on Sports Overnight America, presented by Geico and Rocket Mortgage. I'm your host, Tyler Levine. Let's recap a crazy weekend in the EPL real quick. I know we go through it Fridays on at 5 o'clock Eastern on First Touch, but let's run through a little EPL right now. As I stated in the first segment, Nottingham Forest beats Wolves today 3-0. For those who didn't hear, they were founded in 1865, one of the oldest teams in Premier League history. Relegated three times in the 90s, back in the Premier League in 2022. They had two terrible seasons, and now they sit in third, tied with Arsenal. Just an unbelievable storyline there. And for those who love the sport, for those who love any sports, just think about that. They haven't had a Premier League game in 22 years, and now here they are in second place just three seasons back. Yesterday, unbelievable game, Liverpool 2, Manchester United 2. And I'll be the first to say it. I thought Manchester United were going to lose by three or four goals here. We took the lead in the 52nd minute through Lisandro Martinez. Cody Gakpo scores in the 59th. A Mo Salah penalty in the 70th. Amad Diallo levels things in the 80th. The away fans were going bonkers. You could hear a pin drop in Anfield. United walk away with a point, and they probably could have walked away with three if Harry Maguire could have got a late shot on goal. Just so painful. I was going crazy with my co-host Nico Beef Sauce texting back and forth during that game. Liverpool still in first. Manchester United are still in 13th, which is just insane. But a great effort out of them. Ipswich get an unbelievable result as well. 2-2 against Fulham. Might not sound like a lot, but Ipswich, another one of those teams. They haven't been in the Premier League for 20-plus years. They're in 18th right now, tied with Wolves in 17th. 18th is a relegation spot, by the way, for those who don't know. They can get kicked out of the league if they end the season there. And some other unbelievable results.
Chelsea and Palace tie 1-1. Arsenal and Brighton tie 1-1 as well. It's Liverpool's season to lose. They are the front runners, and they are running away with it right now. That is all the time we have. I will be back tomorrow with Marty Terrell talking some NFL and college football. Thank you guys so much for listening in. As always, I'm your host, Todd Levine. It's been a pleasure being here with you on Sports Overnight America on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. See you guys tomorrow. Have a great night.